The Anton Savage Show
with Kearys.ie
on News Talk.
So after a marathon of counting in various different elections, particularly the European elections, many of which went to significant numbers of counts through enormous numbers of candidates, it is all done and dusted and we know the lay of the land. And one of the people who is among the newly elected MEPs is Labour MEP Eoin O'Riordan. Eoin, first of all, congratulations.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Which count?
I don't know. Haven't a clue. The one on Tuesday. The one on Tuesday evening.
We're in that rare moment where directly after the election, there is, before the politicking comes back in hard, although it is already starting, there is moments for reflection and analysis. As you look at the election that has just gone past, what does it say about mood of the nation and direction of politics in the country?
I don't know if I'm in a position to really reflect on that. What to say about the direction of politics? Well, look, there was a rightward shift during the election. There was a lot of, about a month out, there was a lot of anti-immigrant feeling. There was a lot of very vocal people on doors who had very strong opinions. And the likes of me and the politics that I'm identified with was getting, targeted. That kind of dipped during the campaign, and towards the end, it resurfaced. But I don't know. You can only compare it with the last election, which was 4 years ago, and 4 years is a long time not to have an election. And between this election and the last one, we've had a pandemic and we've had a Ukrainian invasion. So, and that pandemic had a profound effect on people and how they view politics and how they engage in politics and political thought. And a lot of people, I think, went into their own silos and stopped engaging with mainstream media, you know. So 4 years ago, there was very much an anti-government feeling, and Sinn Féin were certainly self-confident. I didn't feel that this time. I didn't feel the same level of anti-government feeling. Housing came up a lot. But again, a local and European election, you know, they are a moment in time, but people aren't as engaged as they will be with a general election. General election, it's on the news all the time. The major figures that they're aware of are all running for election. The parties are all setting out their stalls. And it is really how the country looks at its politics is through the lens of a general.
But presumably you can get a feel of the mood. You may not get the same amount of turnout. You may not get the exact same voting patterns. But if the electorate is furious, you'll still get a sense of it on the doors,
won't
you?
Yeah, well, normally a party in government will get absolutely flattened, as we did in 2014. And it's happened to other parties in the past. Fianna Fáil in 2009 had a very poor election. So it seems to have held. Now, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are celebrating. They did lose seats. They did have in historical terms, they had a poor enough election. But, you know, the wipeout or the reversal that was predicted didn't happen. Sinn Féin would be disappointed. You know, we're quite happy, and other parties have their own reflections. But it really is hard to tell. Certainly, we were worried about the rise of anti-immigrant independence.
Was that overblown?
Was it overblown? But I don't know. Any country in which people dismiss it, it's been a mistake. And, you know, Brexit only happened because a 30-year campaign from some very, you know, Eurosceptic wing of the Conservative Party that nobody took seriously, and then it took hold. So, look, we had a candidate here in Dublin who was using that platform. It seemed to take hold for a while. It didn't work out for him in the end. But that doesn't mean that it can't gather pace and that we can be in any way, dismissive of the power of that divisive language. Because, you know, we've had a couple of councillors elected around the country, and it's something I still have concerns about, not just here in Ireland, but across Europe.
You mentioned that the four-year gap. It is the longest gap that we have ever had without a national election in the history of the state.
Yeah.
Is there an advantage in terms of research and that which you learn from the process of an election? Does it provide something that polls and the normal political interaction day to day don't give you? Do you know something now that you didn't before the election?
Don't listen to polls, I suppose. You know, politics can sometimes be led by polls, and people will dismiss your political party because you're not performing in polls. But the more I analyse polls and what people are saying about them, it sometimes feels as if newspapers commission polls in order to be talked about at the weekend and to get their political correspondent on the radio at the weekend to talk about the poll they just had. It's free advertising. And the way the polls are done, they suck away your self-confidence if you're not doing well in them. But in the Labour Party, you know, whenever we are interviewed on anything, an interviewer has maybe a minute left to fill because they're bored of what we're saying, they'll say, well, your polls aren't great. But when it comes to it, we won a by-election a couple of years ago, the first by-election win by anybody in a long time, and we've just won a seat in the European Parliament. So I think there's some reflection to be done on that. But also, polls can sometimes gather momentum. I mean, we had a poll, I got 10% in an Irish Times poll 3 weeks out, and that gave us an awful lot of belief. So I don't know. I think we should spend more time talking about ideas and policies and plans and what you want to do rather than the pantomime stuff, which I think gets a bit tedious, gets a bit tiresome. I see in the Dáil every day. I think Sinn Féin have to reflect on this. It's not enough to point at others and say that they're not doing a good job. You have to point at what actually you would do. And I'd like to think in our campaign in Dublin that that's what we were trying
to do. Although, in fairness to Sinn Féin and to the opposition in general, it is a very difficult thing when you don't have the resources of the permanent government and all of the civil service and all of the state entities behind you to give day-to-day and detail of what you would do from the opposition
pitch. But you can still have an idea. You can still have a vision. You can still point to things that are important to you. Where do you stand on drug policy? Where do you stand on housing policy? What do you want to change about the education system? Not just when it's in the news, but when it's not in the news. So who talks about education? Who talks about literacy? Who talks about the fact that one in six Irish adults are functionally illiterate? Who talks about, you know, educational disadvantage, drug policy in the way that maybe we talk about it? When it's not popular, or how do you grab an issue and put it into the mainstream, not just because everybody's talking about it? So that's sometimes is my frustration with politics, but I do find with the people is that when you take an issue and you're passionate about it and you care about it, they mightn't agree with you, but at least they will acknowledge that you're genuine about it. And I remember being a school principal, getting the job as a school principal. Best bit of advice I ever got was from a colleague of mine who said, you know, whenever you make a decision in your life as a school principal, you know, you're going to annoy a lot of people, but as long as there's a child at the centre of every decision, nobody will ever question your integrity. And I think often in politics, we don't put people at the centre of what we do. We put point scoring, we put, you know, an argument for the sake of argument. It's not a mock anger. But if there was a person at the centre of what we talk about more often, I think people would have more.
But again, is that a fault of the individual? Is that a fault of the system? I mean, the system, you do have to get the eyeballs. You have to get access to the ears. You have to come up with something that is compelling
but
to people.
What makes the news is the row. What doesn't make the news is the committee amendment where the minister actually says, that's not a bad amendment. I'll have a look at that and come back to you at report stage. That doesn't make the news. But what makes the news is TDX shouting at Minister Y. So, you know, and sometimes you can feed into that. And every TD knows how to get a 30-second clip for themselves. You know, use a bit of colourful language. Use a phrase that wouldn't already be used. Say something funny. But the substance of what I think is would affect people's lives is sometimes doesn't get the type of analysis it should do.
On that, was that a particular characteristic of the European campaigns? I'm not pointing fingers directly at you, but broadly across the Europe.
Pointing a finger. Five of them, actually, listener.
Broadly across the European campaigns, I got the sense that when you looked at the domestic issues, we had issues. We had things like housing, we had things like immigration, we had things like cost of living, we had things like planning permission, all of that.
Yeah.
When you looked at Europe, there was a broad sort of existential thing about, is Europe good or is it not? But in terms of tangible issues that connect the voter to the reality of the European Parliament, make them feel like European citizens, was it a bit lacking?
Well, see, Dublin is very different because Dublin has an identity. Dublin is Dublin, right? Midlands Northwest, you would hardly find somebody to say, well, I feel strongly about being from Midlands Northwest or Ireland South. But Dublin has a particular dynamic about it. I think what we were saying is that it's not unreasonable to say to people, your MEP is a bit... you know, distance from your life. You're not as in tune with who your MEP is as your TD or your councillor, and they would nod in agreement with that. But so I want to change that. I want your MEP to be relevant to Dublin political life and Dublin political leadership. So I think that's something I'd like to change over the next 5 years, that people will be absolutely aware of who their MEPs are, and that the European Union comes closer to them, because it's far too easy for people who are Eurosceptics to go, oh, unelected Eurocrats, you know, we are being governed by Europe and Europe this, Europe that. Europe has been fantastic for this country. It has helped with our peace process. It has dragged us out of the dark ages. But you can never be complacent. And I think that's part of the issue with the MEP elections, that for many people, they elect MEPs and they don't see them for 5 years. That's partly because there's a huge body of work to be done in Brussels. But it is my mission to bring that back to the doorsteps here in Dublin for 5 years, make it more relevant.
Difficult, though, even when you look at the geography of it, even the simple thing of you're in Brussels, what, 2 days a week, 3 days a week, mm-hmm. you are one of several hundred, you have much more limited speaking time. When you have speaking time, there is no guarantee that it's going to directly overlap with something that's buttering parsnips in Raheny or Clontarf or Killester or anywhere else.
I now have to care about Dunleary and Killiney and St. Kilda.
The south side.
I know, tell me about it.
I wish you luck. They're very different people.
I was complaining to to one of my colleagues who have to go from like Bray to Jingle that I had to go out to Dunleary from Marino.
On the political point scoring end of things then, yeah. a decent election overall for Labour, because yeah. again, if we look at the sort of the narrative that was forming around the polls, was there was a terminally ill patient that was on the way out. That seems to have reversed slightly. Pat Rabbit suggesting the time will soon come for you and the Social Democrats to get in bed.
Well, look, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have just given up on pretending there's any difference between them. I get frustrated looking at the potential for the centre-left to lead a government. In 40 years' time, if we look back at this period, and this was the moment when racism really took off, this is the moment when climate change in Ireland really took off, what was the Irish left doing? Trying to take seats off each other? Trying to take votes off each other? Trying to pretend to the world that we're so fundamentally different that we can't actually coalesce and have a common platform. If you look at ourselves and Soc Dems and the Greens and the SDLP, we could actually form a kind of an understanding around what we want this country to look like in 40 years' time, and then to move with that. Because I think what politics, as I said already, is lacking is a bit of vision as to what we would actually achieve together. So, like, what is the point of a centre-left party going into government, getting hammered, then another centre-left party goes into government, gets hammered?
But there's two different things, Anne. There's the combined policy platform and ideology, and there is the slightly more mercenary and commercial reality of pooling resources. If you are able to say, we get in together as combined parties, you suddenly have much more available resources in terms of people.
People are attracted to strengths. They're attracted to a sense of vision that you can actually lead a government. We don't have to have this argument of who are you going to prop on up? Who are you going to prop up anymore? I mean, the face of Irish politics completely changed in the last 15 years. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael can't form a government together. I mean, that's a remarkable thing to say. 20 years ago, you would have thought that was ridiculous when they had 75% of the entire voting population supporting them. They've just had an election where they just, I think, just creeped over 50%. When we were children, Anton, and I think I'm in around the same generation as you, that would have been unthinkable. So what are the centre-left doing? Having, you know, spending our time pretending that we're different, trying to take over each other, looking at the polls and say, well, at least we're ahead of them. I mean, it's pathetic when we have so many massive challenges, to deal with. The climate change issue, which is something we're handing on to our children, the rise of the far right, the fact we can't house our children. All these things are just much more important than the difference between the Labour Party, the Social Democrats, the Green Party and the SDLP. These things are secondary to what the people need.
Indeed. When we look at those issues, though, the one thing that you will have to make the choice, I assume, of again, is do you do what you did before? And if it is a mix and gathering of independents and the Labour Party numbers make a difference to the possibility of forming a government, do you take the risk of sacrificing another number of years of reputation and popularity by being seen to support a Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil government?
That's not where my mindset is. I know I am much more interested. That's not my decision anymore. I'm now an MEP, but I do have a role to play within the Labour Party. But I do want to be a force and use this office for starting conversations. And I think there is more warmth and generosity between parties of the centre left than maybe we realise. And Irish politics is about government. It's about taking responsibility. And I would love to see a Taoiseach from a centre left party, and that Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, maybe if they want to come in and join that government as a minor party, we can talk to them. But that has to be our goal, because we can't.
Are you defining Sinn Féin as centre-left?
I'm not, no. I think their behaviour in this, they have to reflect on their behaviour in this election, how moving to the right on immigration and the language they've used. They have a lot of reflection to do. I'm pretty disappointed in them and their behaviour over the last number of months.
Eoin, thank you very much. That is new Labour MEP Eoin.
The Anton Savage Show
with Kiri's.ie
on News Talk.